When you read the Sermon on the Mount found in chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew's Gospel, we can be tempted to think that this is only the list of private recommendations that Jesus made for a few select followers. In fact, Jesus is revealing much more than private recommendations. These are the fundamental conditions of discipleship in his kingdom. Jesus is not speaking only to his closest chosen friends, but to the crowds of people who came to hear him, which means that he's quite specifically also addressing us today. Much of this so-called sermon was not new. Jesus came from a poor and marginalized community who had been commanded by prophets like Isaiah to share bread with the hungry, shelter the oppressed and homeless, and clothe the naked. Isaiah wanted his nation to shine like a light, breaking forth as the dawn. For example, in Isaiah 58, which we hear in our first reading, "Share your bread with the hungry and shelter the homeless poor. Then will your light shine like the dawn and your wound be quickly healed over." When Jesus announces the inbreaking of the kingdom, Jesus, like Isaiah, makes clear that he is calling all his followers to have an impact on their world. After the Beatitudes that we heard last week, and just before his teaching on radical trust, money, and forgiveness, he challenges us to live out our discipleship precisely in the context of our culture and world. "You are the salt of the world, but if salt becomes tasteless, what can make it salty again? It's good for nothing, and can only be thrown out to be trampled underfoot by people." Jesus goes on to tell us, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hilltop cannot be hidden." Those who are enlisted in this kingdom must let the light of faith shine before the world so that praise may be given to God. Jesus seems aware that we may be tempted to hide our faith. We might repress it in our public lives, presuming that it has nothing to offer the real world of politics and economics. Or we may just keep it under a basket, a private matter that makes no difference to society. But as Pope Francis reminded the church recently, too many Christians hold on to the faith tightly, trying to preserve it in cans or jars rather than sharing it. He said the Christians often are locked up and are going to get eaten by moths. No, he said, come out of your caves and give the message to the world. A second temptation is related to the first. If we think that our faith really makes no difference in the real world, it goes flat. There's nothing special to offer the world. Having lost its special taste, it never changes culture. It just mimics it. If we're honest with ourselves, we will discover that our Christian faith functions little, if at all, in our political life. In our own day, we have our own particular complications. There are some people who seem to put their Christian faith on a stand for all to see, but it's a faith whose authentic flavor has gone flat. The talk is talked, but the walk is not walked. Lip service is paid, but almost every other kind of service is paid instead to our cultural dogmas. Just spend some time reading the Sermon on the Mount in the coming weeks and ask yourself whether our westernized Christianity is truly light in dark times or salt for the world. Grace and peace. This is Father Richard Healy. Find out more at FatherRick.com, FRRICK.com.